Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Welcome back to Take Command. We're previewing the Lions and the Commanders, Washington, trying to stop a four-game skid. And if they do it, they will pull off a stunner. The Lions have been installed as 8.5-point favorites to open the week. We'll see what the line ends at. But the Commanders have their work cut out for them, as Logan was just dissecting. We were talking about the side of the ball, frankly, where while the Lions are playing better defensively, generally you worry about a lot less with this team. Let's get to Washington's defense on the field with the Detroit offense. And it's a tale of two stories here. The Lions are a top 10 unit. They've been one of the most feared offenses in the sport over the last few years. Washington's defense was a victim of four touchdown drives on four possessions to start their game against Seattle. One change being made here. We talked about it on the last pod. Joe Witt's coming out of the booth down onto the sideline. Otherwise, it's kind of the status quo. Really good news, though, Logan. Frankie Louvu is going to play in this game. He was suspended by the league for a game. He appealed. He won his appeal, so they've reduced it to just a $100,000 fine. And Frankie Louvu will be playing in this game. Now, we could have a longer conversation about a $100,000 fine for tackles in a football game, and I would like to do that because I still think that's absurd. But I get it. Hip drop tackles, they're illegal. Yep. They want him out of the game. I think one of them was iffy. I can have my own opinions about how annoying that is, but I sure as hell like that. It's not my money. It's Frankie Louvu's, and he's paying a fine, and he's going to play on Sunday. So sucks for him, and I wish he didn't have to pay it, but I'll bet you he'd rather pay $100K than miss a football game.
Yeah, I'm happy. I mean, that's great news that he's back, because I think you're going to need him in this football game. Like he's been playing better the last couple weeks, and I think his leadership and his energy are going to be really, really impactful. So glad to hear that, because I was a little bit concerned. Obviously – missing some key pieces on the defensive line, missing some key pieces in the secondary because of injury. And if he wasn't going to play, that was going to be very, very challenging to deal with. So really happy that he's back out there ready to play some football.
So let's look at the Lions. This is an offense that, while they're really good, I know you said on the last pod, you don't see them as maybe as consistently prolific as they've been in the past.
Yeah.
And so I dove in on some of those numbers, and they're down six spots in ranking, from 6.2 per play to 5.7. They're down five spots running the ball. As a passing unit, last year they were throwing for over 8 yards per play. This year it's sub 7.5, down five spots there as well. Goff was averaging over 270 per game. Now it's 233. There's not much of a debate. It's still really good, but it's not quite what it was.
Yeah, it's not quite what it was, and I do think, some of those stats are inflated by the Bears game, like where they just absolutely went Richter. And so I think if you take that – I haven't done it yet, but if you take that game out, it feels much more pedestrian is not the right word – much more normal, much more normal in terms of how efficient, how effective they've been.
Let me give you a number on that real quick just to back up your point before you go forward. So DVOA with the Bears game – They're eighth in the NFL, which is one of my favorite stats. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, created it. Yeah. Basically accounts for as many variables and waters down the playing field to even as possible. If you take that game out, they're 14th. They fall basically six spots in DVOA on the season based on that one game. So your observation is completely correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's I didn't think it was going to be that dramatic, but that is a big difference. And so I think it just speaks to, like, when you watch down to down. Now, they played some good football teams, good defenses the last couple of weeks, but when you watch down to down, like, for example, last year when you watched them, like, their first and second down rushing efficiency was absolutely diabolical. Like, you just be like, that's – anytime they handed the ball off to Jahmyr Gibbs or to Montgomery, it was going to be a five-yard gain. And then they would just bleed you and punch you in the face, and they'd hit this explosive shot down the field, or they'd kind of find a way to kind of, Jahmyr Gibbs, and he'd crank one out, or Montgomery would crank a 40-yard run out, and you're just like, gosh, like, how do you contend with this? I do think their down-to-down efficiency has become a little bit less consistent. People say, oh, well, Jahmyr Gibbs is rushing for 4.9 yards a carry. He had a monstrous run. I think it was about 75 yards versus Tampa Bay that has kind of bumped up that average a little bit. And I think when you look at Montgomery, too, versus Baltimore, he had a 68-yard run and then a 45-yard run, something like that, late in that game, where, again, those averages are inflated by these explosive runs. Now, that's why they're doing it. They're running because they know they have explosive playmakers. But the down-to-down consistency is, to me, wavered significantly. So what does that do? It puts you in more third and longs. It forces Jared Goff to do more. And Jared Goff, I think, is playing really good football. But then you see some of the cracks in their roster construction. This happens to every single team. You feel with Philly a little bit right now as well. When you look at their guards, they got Tate Rowledge, who's a rookie who I think is going to be an absolute stud, but he is not playing as well as the guy that was there last year. Graham Glasgow, who was the backup last year, is now the starter because their center retired, not playing as well. And then I can't even say the other guard's name, number 74. He is struggling big time to me. And so when you get those three guys on the interior not playing their best football, you're kind of like, that's where the deficiency comes in. Instead of creating this great movement, running guys off the ball, creating seams for Gibbs and Montgomery, the backs have to be a little bit more creative. And I think that's on first down. And then on third down, that's how you feel the pocket kind of collapsing. You feel it kind of constricting around Goff, and he does a great job standing in there and throwing the football. But like you mentioned this before, he's not going anywhere. He is feet in concrete at the top of his drop, and we are delivering strikes. Now, they've got enough playmakers on the perimeter to make it go, but you've seen teams get after them a little bit. I think the most recent one being the Minnesota Vikings, with internal pressure on first down, lots of cross dogs, internal pressure on third down, again, attacking that kind of interior trio, and it really was too much for Goff and that offense to handle. So while they're still good, they're definitely not as efficient as they were last year, and that lack of efficiency comes to the forefront in terms of, I think, some of the offensive numbers they're putting out.
So a couple of things. Their offensive line is ravaged by injury right now. This is a really good week to play the Lions. And I know people will roll their eyes at that, but you want that. I mean, that's what you're looking for, right? You mentioned, I think, number 74, the guard, who's Coyote Owoshika, I believe is how you say his name.
Killed it. Thank you.
He is a backup who has not started any games, who will now start starting, who really struggled, to your point, this past week because their starting guard got hurt and is out for an extended period of time. Christian, so you're going Mahogany to see him in this game because Mahogany got hurt. On both tackle spots, Taylor Decker is hurt. Penei Sewell is one of the best right tackles, maybe the best right tackle in the league other than, I don't know, maybe him and Lane with the Eagles.
Lane is, Penei Sewell on first, second down, there's not a better tackle in football. Like, his ability to run and create space, drive people off the football, sink his hips is amazing. He falters a little bit as a pass protector, and that's where I'd give the edge to Lane. But in terms of first and second down player, like, he is fantastic. He's the if you want to cut on some film and say, how do you run block at right tackle, go no further than Penei Sewell, man. He is
really bad. You think he's number one?
Oh, in terms of run blocking, it's not even close. But Lane Johnson is an absolute stud in pass pro, and like if you want to make money and get paid in the NFL, you got to pass protect. And so maybe it's like three slots down, you got Sewell when it's overall ranking. But first and second down, man, like he does some absolutely amazing things in terms of movement, getting on double teams. It's incredible.
But look at this possibility. Maybe you're without two tackles and a guard. And that's you already crazy. Talked about it. Their guard play this year has been a big problem for them as it was. And you're getting worse there, theoretically, tapping into your bench. So if you're Washington, I think, you know, I'm such a proponent of the Shanahan philosophy of it's not who you play, it's when you play them. Like, let's get after them a little bit up front. Yeah. Let's run some games. Let's rush. Let's. By the way, I would blitz from the interior. Bobby Wagner, having Frankie Louvu, I think, is a huge deal. Now he's basically playing edge. But as much as I called for that, this might be a game where occasionally you put him at the second level and let him get some speed and come downhill, because Jahmyr Gibbs gave up 7 pressures on like 16 pass blocks last week, which was the worst game a running back has had statistically all season. You know, if they're susceptible and weak in the interior, it's not like they got a quarterback like Washington has with Jaden or Marcus, where he's moving around and getting away from the rush. If you get near Jared Goff, he's going to the ground. I mean, he's exceptional in a lot of things. Nobody better thrown in the middle of the field at times. He's pinpoint with his accuracy. There's like some Cousins elements to him, to me. But like, if you get near him, he's not getting away from you, right? Yeah. So this, to me, is a turn up the heat game for Joe Witt a little bit, the way that it looks like they're going to be dinged up front.
Yeah, and I think, like we talked about at the top of the show, like, this is a mouthpiece, wrist tape, you know, neck roll type of game. And when you look at what Minnesota did, they didn't do anything that I haven't seen the Commanders do, to be quite honest, on first down. Like, maybe they ran more true cross dog, but, like, they run the Commanders run like a lot.
Explain cross dog for people.
So, like, you take the two middle linebackers and you basically stunt them over the top of the center. So you have, like, a true nose. You kind of run some type of stunt where those three people are playing kind of like – some type of pick pull type of game. You have three techniques or four eyes. They're going to play to five techniques. And I will say this, like, they executed those looks really well, Minnesota, but they were just more physical. Like, they were just more physical than the Detroit Lions, right? You get defensive ends like knocking tight ends back. You guys get set in hard edges, not letting that thing contain, letting those linebackers work on the interior. And so, like, I've seen the Commanders, like, I went back and watched the Chargers game last night. They've run, like, not cross dogs, but single dog, and they stunt the line. Think about Kinlaw in that game against the Chargers, where he's constantly, like, getting TFLs or being disruptive in the backfield. We have that pitch. It's just, can we execute it in a physical, violent manner versus a physical, violent football team? And I think that's where, like, the mindset of this game is so, so critical. It's like, you've seen the roadmap. You've seen teams get after them, like, physically get after them, like Minnesota being one. I thought Tampa Bay did a great job in the first half before that Jahmyr Gibbs explosive run. Like, but they have a different personnel, and they were very physical in the front. So can you bring that same level of physicality? Because, again, like, it's
– what did they do? Did they just park Vita Vea and basically –
Yeah,
like,
Vita Vea is a monster. Yeah.
He's a beast.
And then they pressure a lot too, right? They do a little That's bit of true. Line movement. They pressure, like – and it's – and when you have a team that – we've talked about this, like, with the Commanders. Like, when you get a lot of run stunts, when you got a lot of run pressures, like, you better know what to do. And you can see, again, some of the deficiency on the interior in terms of getting those things combinationed and targeted correctly. Like, last year – they had a bunch of older war daddies in there, right? Guys that were just physical.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Football players that played a lot of football. I think Zeitler was the guard. He's one of my favorite guards in the NFL, right? Like, that just knew what to do in those looks. And now you're getting a bunch of guys who are learning on the job, and it's less efficient. So can you do it? I mean, the Commanders have shown they can do it, but like, can you bring that level of physicality on first and second down in this game? Because like you said, if you get them in a third and seven, it's not a Sam Darnold offense, right? The pockets are collapsing. Like, they don't have a bunch of great pass protectors in this offense because they're designed to run the football. So can you exploit that? And I really believe like you can. You just got to play a physical, violent brand of football, in this football game.
The best thing in the world for you in your new career here has to be that you don't ever have to deal with Vita Vea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a guy like that where you're coming across the line of scrimmage and there's just a collision with a dude like Vita Vea. Like, whatever you miss about football, as long as you remember that, you're probably okay not doing it anymore.
I tell you, sometimes I'm watching some of these edge players, like some of these bigger – like Minnesota has this edge player who's like built like a fire hydrant. He's like 6'1", like 295, like just a big old stocky son of a gun. And he – Sam LaPorta had a little drive block on him, and this guy just – helmet – just take that middle stripe right there, put it right in Sam LaPorta's face. Sam LaPorta's head snaps back, get the long arm, get thrown over a pile. And I was like, you know what? I don't need that in my life anymore. I don't need that level of physical trauma. And so every once in a while you see something and you're like, man, I love watching ball, but I don't love that. I don't love that anymore. So
Vita Vea is just no one should be that big and be able to move like that guy. He's one of my favorite players in the league to watch. Like, he's crazy.
I know we're going to take a little digression here, but every once in a while, like, I think back to the athletes that I saw in the NFL, and just there are certain dudes that in a land of freaks, of just some of the freakiest dudes you'll see, a dude will walk into a room and you'll be like, that dude is a different cut. Like, on the field of battle, he's the one you send out first. And like, he's just in this room of dudes that are all alphas, like, people kind of tuck tail and turn away when he walks in the room. And, you know, Trent Williams was like that. Julio Jones was like that. I'm sure Vita Vea has a little bit of that same gravitas to him when he walks around in the room.
No doubt. All right. So then, to put a bow on the Detroit conversation, I guess it'd be remiss if we didn't at least acknowledge some of the playmakers. So obviously, if they hold up in pro, and this is where they're going to have to do, you know, a pretty good job of buying some time. Johnny Morton, their OC, replacing Ben Johnson this year, has done a really nice job, I think, in his first year. But if they can hold up, like, the matchup of Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot on Washington's DBs feels like a major problem. Otherwise,
slot perimeter, like, wherever you want to
move
put
them
that
all over. That's true.
He's Jaxon Smith-Njigba before Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like, that's like that hyper technical physical route runner. Like, dude's a stud, man. Like,
he's
and
great.
I know he doesn't get a lot. In terms of matchups, like, this is one of those ones where it's like, who's going to win versus man coverage? Like, how do you handle a guy who runs routes the way he does is going to be, especially after seeing what Jaxon Smith-Njigba did to some of our defensive backs last week.
So last week you basically said something along the lines of, like, Smith-Njigba is going to get his, like, that's going to happen. And I file St. Brown into that same category.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be 7 for 105, 110, 115. It can't be 157. It can't be 164, but, like, he's going to catch 7-8 balls. He's going to go for 100 yards. My concern, Grant Witt over here, the way we play is, you know, the way we live is not for everybody, or whatever the big quote was, is two
great
other guys.
Great quote, by the way. Great quote.
That is a great quote. Because the ball is life. Jamison Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs, and that speed. So J-Mo is interesting because they don't consistently involve him, and I don't really understand why he goes like 3 weeks without being involved. But he's petrifying. And then Gibbs did whatever he wanted against this team in the NFC playoff game, and thank God Ben Johnson stopped giving him the ball. I know they haven't been as explosive with him, but to me, if you get him out on the edges, I don't know how Washington stops that in this game. So help me with either of those two things.
Dude, that's the thing about this team. It's like, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to get his. With Seattle, it was like, There is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and then there wasn't like really a guy that killed you, right? Like, you weren't like, oh damn, like that guy. Like, Jamison Williams has got to be the fastest dude in the NFL now that Tyreek Hill's hurt. Like, there's a play versus quarters versus the Bears where he literally runs straight and the safety is 12 yards off the ball and he just runs by him like he's standing still. And you're like, I don't know how you cover that. Like, that you're in quarters coverage. Like, when one goes vertical after two goes out, your eyes go right to him and he just runs right by you. for a 40-yard touchdown over the top, right? And so that's terrifying because, like, that's something that the Commanders have an issue with, right? And Jahmyr Gibbs, like, while he's not been super efficient, quote-unquote, like, there was a play versus Green Bay where it's completely dead on an outside zone, and then he turns his shoulders to the right, parallel to the sideline, sprints as fast as he can, outruns the whole defense, and runs forward for 10 yards. You want to see something terrifying? Go watch the Tampa Bay game when he rips off that 75-yarder. He ran almost 23 miles an hour on that play. Like, there is explosiveness in this offense. And that's just talking about those two guys, right? We haven't even talked about Sam Laporta, who's explosive at, like, maybe one of the more explosive tight ends at the position, right? And then you got Isla Tisla, who has been this explosive flashpoint for them, who runs a 4.4. He's 6'5". And you're just like, so unlike Seattle, where there wasn't all this dynamism outside of Jackson Smith and Jigba, this offensive skill position group is like, holy cow, like, what are we going to do? So to me, it just becomes that much more important on first down to be like, let's get you in third and long as much as we can and try to get home with some five-man pressures. And because they're going to complete the football, like, and it just depends on how well you tackle and make sure no one gets behind you in terms of defensive structure.
Well, that was the key for the Vikings last week. The Lions faced 17 third downs, which I don't ever remember seeing a team have that many third downs in a game. But it tells you they weren't getting a lot of first downs on first and second. And also 12 times they got them off the field because there were a lot of third and longs. And so you're wondering, what's going on with the offense? They don't quite look right. Well, they're in third and nine, third and seven, third and eight. And there were some big pressures and some, you know, sacks and a couple of things. And Washington's going to have to find those. But, yeah, maybe it's a penalty that puts them behind the chains. But when you get them in second and a mile, where Washington has been abysmal, frankly, this season, like, you've got to make a play. You can't give up 15 on second and 22. You can't get them back into third and manageable. Like, you know, it's okay every now and then when it's second and a mile to make it third and a mile. Like, they're due for a couple of incompletions or a drop on one of those to end a drive. Hopefully this week is the week. All right, next, we'll try to figure out who Logan thinks is going to eat for Washington against the Lions on both sides of the ball. You're listening to Take Command.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.